Three wide receivers set on second down. Pass deflected, picked off, and taken in for a touchdown by Kyle Hamilton.
Kenny Albert on the call. That is Fox. That's last year, M&T Bank Stadium. Baltimore Ravens, Cleveland Browns, Kyle Hamilton taking it to the house off Deshaun Watson. Unfortunately, Ravens wound up losing that game, 33-31, but it's news from the nest and what we've been doing here. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, talking about the returnees defensively for the Ravens against division foes. And as you heard there, at least that particular instance, Kyle Hamilton, he had himself a moment against the Browns.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, Bob, breaking it down, you know, defense versus a division. Roquan, in the five games, Roquan had 57 tackles. Bob, you remember against Cleveland, he had 21 tackles, the 33-31 game. 21 tackles in that game. But, I mean, and he only played five games. So he's averaging, you know, over 10 tackles a game against a division. And against a division that Pittsburgh's going to run the ball even more. Cleveland wants to run the football. Cincy, they want to throw the football. So he's going to have a chance in the division to back that up. The key is going to be, I mean, Simpson's going to be a big key. Why? Patrick Queen against the division, Bob, had 49 tackles and 1.5 sacks. So that is going to be tough to replace with a second-year guy that, you know, played one game, had 7 tackles, a sack, and 2 tackles for loss in that game. You know, so that was against Pittsburgh. But can he at least come close to what Queen does? Because if not, who's making up for it? Who's making those plays? That's going to be a big part of it. Yeah, and then Kyle Hamilton he had 23 tackles, 5 games, 1 interception, 1 touchdown, 3 tackles for loss. Now, because a couple of those games were early. I mean, he got more involved. It seemed like they got comfortable with Hamilton being the jack of all, you know, being lined up everywhere, rushing the quarterback, lining here, covering in the slot, doing all those things. So I expect him to step in and even do better than what he did last year. And in the division, you know, Hamilton had 23 tackles. You know, I mean, he'll probably play all 6 games, I would think, this year, unless they're running away with it. But I would imagine he's going to have some sacks because he's a natural rusher. I think he's an outstanding rusher because he knows how to use his hands rushing the quarterback, and I think they're going to use him a lot. Will he have a pick or two? Yeah, if Marcus Williams is back there too, I think that helps. And then Bob, a guy they're going to miss, you talked about it earlier. Clowney against the division, he was really good. I mean, he had 18 tackles and 5 sacks. That's the thing. I mean, who's it going to be? Who can do that? And the thing about it is because of his 5 sacks and all that, he was the one getting doubled. Who's going to be that guy? You know, is it going to be Oweh? You know, Oweh, are you going to be the Clowney of last year and you're going to get doubled? You're going to get chipped because then on the other side, that'll open up Van Noy or a Jabo or somebody else over there to get some sacks. So that's going to be a critical part of it because he's going to be well missed in the division because he was around all the time. And how happy was the team for him, Bob, in that Pittsburgh game? Remember he needed 1 more sack to get $1 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. But the guy was extremely productive for them in the division. Now, Van Noy, he didn't play in a couple of the games because he wasn't there yet, but he had 8 tackles and 2 sacks in 4 games. So he showed some production in the division. Can he get the 2 sacks or can he get 3 sacks or can he get, you know, the Bengals don't have a great offensive line. Pittsburgh's is going to be young. Cleveland's be okay, but they lost Bill Callahan, the best O-line coach probably in the league. So maybe he can have some success. Oweh, Bob, he had 7 tackles, 2 sacks in the division.
Not bad.
Not bad. He needs to get more tackles because he can play the run. And if he could get 3 sacks or 4 sacks in a division, that would help. But he's got to increase those numbers. He's got to increase the tackles. Sacks, I mean, we'll take the 2. That's in six games. You know, that put him on pace for what?
Six.
Now, Matabike, 17 tackles, 3.5 sacks. That's from a defensive tackle. 3.5 sacks, 17 tackles. So that's pretty damn good for him. And he didn't, early on, Matabike didn't get his, like in the first game, Bob, against Cincy, had two tackles. In the second game, he had two tackles and one sack. Then in the third game, Pittsburgh, October 8th, 5 tackles and a half sack. Then the last part of the year, Matabike, 3 tackles and a sack against Cleveland. Cincinnati, Matabike, 2 tackles. And then against Pittsburgh, Matabike had 2 tackles. So he was pretty consistent throughout in the division. And then if he can just match, just do what you did, we'll take it. Now, Travis Jones kind of surprised me. He had 16 tackles in the six games. So if he could put that up and start with a 2 and get a sack, at least one sack, that would be good. Michael Pierce had 14 tackles. So between the two, though, at that position, about 30 tackles, which is pretty good, which is very good. And then Urban had 9 tackles. So that rotation of guys right in there, 17, 16, 14, and 9, that's not bad at all. And Washington, Bob, had 6 tackles and a sack. So another of your inside guys. Very productive inside group there. I mean, that's a good group. Tavius Robinson, Bob, had 12 tackles and a sack in the division. He plays the run well. And, you know, if he's bigger and stronger, you know, if he can get 15 tackles and get a sack again or maybe 2, I think that's acceptable.
Yeah, I think there's more to the Tavius Robinson equation than maybe we're thinking of right now. Not saying he's going to have 10 sacks or anything like that, but right. I think he helps.
He's a good run player, good edge setter and stuff. And then, like I said, Tavian Robinson was 7 tackles, 1 sack, 2 tackles for loss. And then that third safety, Bob, or if Marcus Williams, you know, he's been hurt 2 years in a row. If Marcus Williams, Stone in the division had 22 tackles. So if he were to go down, who's going to be that guy? If he got hurt again, who is that guy? Is it Tampa? Maybe it's Tampa. And you know, you go look.
Yeah, Jonas didn't sound real high on TJ Tampa after watching him at minicamp.
Well, he was worried about his deep speed, which, you know,
sure.
I am.
You
I
said
saw
it
him,
right
I,
out of the gate.
Yeah, I saw him get beat deep, but he can play the ball. He's got great ball skills and great hands and great instincts, and he's tough. That's why I said if you put him up and press him, I've said all along, you got to protect him.
If he ran a little faster, he's not sitting at the fourth round, I'm assuming.
Probably not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's all the concerns. Now, Malik Harrison, Bob, he only had 7 tackles. And I think he's going to be a role player. And I think, you know, he can play inside. He can play outside. Is he great at anything? The thing he does best, in my opinion, is he can set the edge and do that. Like, Vannoy can be, like, for a break for a guy. Set the edge, you know, and then take him out and let Vannoy rush. Now, Marcus Williams, 4 games, had 22 tackles. So at the safety spot, Bob, you had 44 tackles at the safety spot, which is pretty damn good, pretty active for the safety. So you need a guy that in the division that's going to come up and tackle and make some plays. Stevens at corner, 16 tackles. And usually when a corner's making tackles more times than not, you know, he's tackling the guy that caught the ball. So Stevens had 16 tackles, and he's not afraid to come up and tackle. Humphrey only had 7 tackles, but he didn't play a lot. That's going to be the – and Millett was very productive. Bob, he had 13 tackles, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss. But, I mean, they like to use him and Hamilton as that guy who blitzes, comes off the slot. Millett's not an outside guy. Millett's a disruptor on the inside, and he's good at it.
He was. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, News from the Nest. Bob Haney, Vinny's Rod, featured artist, Friday's Rush. He was bad early, Millett.
Yes.
Because I think he got picked, or as you would say, he was the pigeon.
Yes.
He got better as the year went on, and as Jonas said a couple hours ago, last hour, he's been pretty impressive throughout the offseason work so far.
Well, I think, Bob, what they probably got a feel of how to use him. And how they used him was kind of similar to how Hamilton was used, but from another side. He was an excellent blitzer, really timed it well. He tackles well. He's not an outside guy, you know, and he plays okay on the inside in zone and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that's why they brought him back. And then Bob Armour Davis had two tackles. So, I mean, he was
nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be such a huge bonus for them, kind of like Jonas said, too, if Armour Davis, because then at the corner spot, you'd have backups. You'd have Armour Davis, you'd have Tampa, and you would have Wiggins, which you'd have some pretty good depth, especially if Humphrey were to go down early, then, you know. But overall, looking at it, the keys were Roquan, of course. You know, he's gonna be the quarterback. He's gonna be the guy that makes the most plays. But the thing is who's gonna replace Clowney sacks? Who's gonna replace Queen's tackles? Can Simpson match up to what Queen did in the division? And if Marcus Williams gets hurt, or if Hamilton gets hurt, who's replacing? You know, who can take those 22 tackles that Geno Stone brought?
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, we'll count that weekend money, hopefully buy or sell. Cade Povich joined us yesterday here on 105.7 The Fan, Vinny and Haney. He's pitching tomorrow night national TV against the Rangers. We'll hear what he had to say about his first few starts at the major league level. NFL lunch coming up 1 o'clock. AL East report at 1:15. And lights out, Sean Merriman joins us at 1:30, talks some football with him, and also combat sports because he likes that sort of thing. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, featured artist Friday. It is Rush. Get your song request into the Plaza Port text line, 410-583-1057. Orioles taking on the Rangers tonight, game two of this four-game series. Birds win the opener convincingly, 11-2. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts at 6. Me, Ryan Ripken, getting ready to rock and roll there. Inside Access will be at Pickles for their program coming up at 2 o'clock. Looks like it's going to be a nice night. Camden Yards, not this brutal heat.
Yep.
I think that's coming this weekend. But get on downtown and let's watch the Orioles maintain their advantage at the top of the AL East. But right now, most importantly, where's our weekend money? By yourself.
Bob, everything's pretty flat. The Dow is down 5 now. The S&P's up 1. NASDAQ is down 10. DraftKings up $1.02. Under Armour's down 14 cents to 6.50. 14 cents, 6.52.
All right, we'll get our sports topics today started in the NBA, where Kristaps Porzingis, well, he battled some injuries to finish out the finals, helped Boston bring home a title, but now he's paying the price, has to undergo foot surgery. It's going to sideline him for at least 5 to 6 months, which means he will not be a part of the Celtics' plans at least early next season. The good news is Boston does have a pretty good idea of what life is like without Porzingis, considering they played many of their most meaningful games without him in the postseason. But given the nature of the injury, how rare it is, his career history with injuries in general, buy or sell, Bob, the Celtics will need to make an insurance move by adding another big man this offseason.
I'll buy that. Now, does it have to be a high-priced, all-star-level big man? Maybe not, but someone that can just hold things over, what do you say, 5-6 months? So best case scenario, he's around December, January. They made it to the finals basically without him because he got hurt early in their first round series against Miami. Came back, glorious, triumphant return against Dallas, then got hurt again. Yeah, I think Boston will add someone and they'll maintain their status as maybe the best team in the NBA. Others are going to be chasing them. But you have two superstars at Brown and Tatum. Drew Holiday's a stud. I mean, there's enough there for sure. And they got some young guys on the come as well.
Let's move to the NFL. Jaguars pass rusher Josh Allen enjoyed the best season of his career in 2023, posted 17.5 sacks and a pair of forced fumbles. All of that helped earn him a new massive payday as well. But the accolades, some of them at least, are still eluding him. He was a Pro Bowler for the second time in his career, but not a first or second team All-Pro selection. There's just way too much tough competition around the league when it comes to pass rushers. But for Jacksonville in general, They haven't had many All-Pro accolades in general. Their only All-Pro winners, first or second team, in the past 6 years have been special teams players, a long snapper and their kicker. You got to go back to Jalen Ramsey, the last time a defensive or offensive player was named All-Pro for them. Buy or sell, Vinny, Josh Allen will take another step in 2024, earn his first All-Pro selection.
I'm going to have to sell it. Like you said, Norm, they're like, you know, the Garretts and the Boses and the Watt. I mean, there's just like you, the competition's unbelievable, and they have name recognition. And the only Josh Allen you think about is the quarterback.
Right.
And Oway.
Yeah.
We're reaching.
But hey, if he is named All-Pro.
Oh, if he's named All-Pro, he's got like 19 sacks.
I'll donate $10 to his contract extension.
Wow, how generous. let's see.
You calling me cheap, Nolan?
No, not at all. Tonight's game here, Albert Suarez going to take the mound for the O's tonight as they take on the Rangers. Game two of a four-game set. His most recent outings, they have not been good at all. Just 3 2/3 innings pitched against the Yankees. A couple weeks ago, couldn't put the ball over the plate, had a ton of walks, then 5 earned runs allowed against Houston over the weekend, a game in which he also allowed just his second home run of the season. Jose Altuve got him there. Buy or sell, Bob, regardless of all other outcomes tonight, Suarez will not allow a homer.
It's hot downtown, man. The ball seems to carry a little bit. And Altuve hit, I think, the first pitch of the game for a home run. No homer. But then I said earlier that I'm feeling Suarez tonight. I'm buying it. I think Suarez gives them 6 strong. And the bats get to Scherzer. And the Orioles are going to win this thing with relative ease. Bet the opposite, I guess.
Bob, you were right.
What's that?
Look at the tacos on the baseball channel.
Well. This was off-the-air stuff. For those who have no idea what Vinny's talking about, they're eating Minnesota tacos, and it was walleye.
And you said, that's probably,
that walleye stuff.
That's there awesome so taco. Now,
there you go.
Those schnazzy jerseys, too.
I'm not feeling those.
No, I don't. No, don't like them at all.
And the Rosa doesn't seem to be digging that taco either.
Wants to spit it out. Convenient napkin grab.
Yes.
There. All right. Let's see. Go back to the NFL. Last summer, if you remember, Chris Jones there in Kansas City held out of training camp in his pursuit of a new contract. That holdout even continued into the regular season for a game before they finally paid him. So this time around, Kansas City should have no concerns and expect their veteran to be at training camp, right? Well, not so fast. Jones recently talked about his desire to skip portions of training camp again because of his veteran status. He said he even floated the idea by Andy Reid, and the coach just looked at him, didn't say anything in response. Should tell you everything you need to know.
Right.
But Vinny, buy or sell, while it likely won't happen, Jones could miss training camp, still produce at his usual level.
He may be there, but not be practicing. That I could see that where. You know, you go lift and you go train, get yourself in shape kind of thing, because he had a hell of a year missing all that time. But he needs to be there.
Hold in is what they say, right?
Yeah, but he's not holding. He just got paid.
He's just not lazy. He just doesn't want to do it.
He just doesn't want to practice. Yeah.
Hot out there, man.
Hey, I don't blame him.
And the other thing is.
Some of them 1:30 practices, Raven.
The other thing about the Chiefs is. They played a lot of football for a long time, so giving them some extra time. The guy I'm more concerned about is Kelce. He's all over Europe. He's doing all kinds of stuff. What football shape is he in?
And we'll close with this here in the NBA. Jimmy Butler, he's eligible for another contract extension, but according to The Athletic, the Heat star will look to play out the final year of his current deal before hitting true free agency next summer. In that scenario, he would presumably be getting significantly more money than he would if he signs right now. And that may be, you know, his reported motive here, but it should be noted that Miami has failed to win it all despite a few finals appearances with Butler as their cornerstone. What moves are being made to build around him in the future? That's the big question. So Bob, buy or sell, Butler's patience to sign is more related to the team building rather than just finances.
Well, they just extended Bam Adebayo for a significant amount of money. I'm assuming Tyler Hero is coming up on a pretty big payday, even though he could be subject to trade rumors. And weren't there talk that Jimmy Buckets could wind up in Houston or something crazy like that? Jimmy Butler's got to be, I don't have his box baseball card or basketball. He's got to be 35 years old. He's been around for a while. I'll sell it. I think he wants to win and win now. And look, they were in the finals 2 years ago. Now they got housed by Boston in the first round, but injuries kind of did them in. I mean, Boston's kind of a notch above the rest in the East. We'll see. I think he just wants the biggest old payday here when it's all said and done.
He's 34, by the way.
Okay, so yeah, he's old. Wish I was 34 again. It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7. And you haven't even made it there yet, Nolan. It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7. The Fan. Will be come back. Featured Artist Friday. It's Rush. Kate Povich joined us yesterday. Had some interesting things to say about young life in the major leagues. If you missed it yesterday, don't miss it again. Then we got NFL Lunch, 1 o'clock. American League East Report at 1:15. And Lights Out, Sean Merriman, Terp legend, at 1:30. Featured Artist Friday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Orioles tonight taking on the Texas Rangers. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Birds win last night, 11-2. Four homers, all from homegrown guys for the Birds of Baltimore. Corbin Burns gets his ninth win of the season. With the win, number 51 for the Orioles and 24, puts them in first place in the AL East by percentage points over the New York Yankees, who come to Baltimore right before the All-Star break in a couple of weeks. Albert Suarez on the hill for the Orioles against Max Scherzer. We'll talk more about this. American League East report time coming up around 1:15. But yesterday, here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Kate Povich, he joined the program. He's going to pitch tomorrow night on national TV against the defending world champion Texas Ball Club. And we were talking about various subjects. One of those subjects was, hey, what was it like pitching at Yankee Stadium?
It was a blast. It was a lot of fun. Being really in that city for the first time for me was really cool. And, of course, the history. When we first got there, I was able to go in center field and kind of look around at the memorial thing that they have out there and just kind of be, like you said, not the original, but be in that kind of center of history. It was really special as a baseball player and a baseball fan.
Now, I mean, you get these benchmark moments, your debut against Toronto, then pitching in Yankee Stadium. You're going to be pitching on national TV Saturday against the defending World Series champions. Checking off a lot of these boxes, but has it sunk into you yet, Kay, that, hey, you're a major league ball player and, you know, the way things are going, probably going to be one for a long, long time?
Yeah, I think a little bit it started to sink in. You know, obviously, like, the first game being the debut in Toronto and then the second game against the Braves, just being at home, first time pitching in Camden, I think those two were really special, and I think now it's kind of turned back to, all right, we have to win ball games, and that's the most important thing right now.
Oriole lefty Kate Povich joining us here, 105.7 The Fan, Vinny and Haney on this Total Request Thursday. The rapport with James McCann and Adley Rutschman is what for you right now? Of course, you came over in 2022. Adley was already up here in Baltimore. What's it like working with them for the first time and getting acclimated to their strengths and how they're trying to extract your strengths from you?
It's been awesome. I mean, they're both super easy to work with, super easy to talk with. Obviously, both have tons of experience. You know, they've been really good going into meetings, talking, getting to know kind of what I like, me getting to know kind of what they do and what they like, and why they call pitches in certain situations, and, you know, getting to know each other all together better, just going into the games. You know, I think we've, with both of them, started to be able to find a groove on them knowing kind of what I like in certain situations and them having the plan going in on what will be good in other situations. So it's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun working with them.
Hey, Cade, what's the difference on the road and at home? Because I saw you have a lot of walks on the road and only one at home.
Yeah, I think that might. I mean, I think the first one kind of just got out of my hands a little bit. Couldn't feel the legs. Tried to refocus myself, and then the one in Yankee Stadium was just kind of one where I didn't feel the best that day and whatnot. But I think overall, just honing everything in, I think I've figured out what works here, and I have full confidence that going back on the road won't be too much of a problem.
All right, Cade, what was it like pitching against another Husker, you know, and then I think one of their bullpen guys was too. Like, I'm sure you had a little chat before the game and stuff, and how cool was that?
Oh, yeah, we played against each other, got drafted the same year. So we were talking leading up to the game. We've stayed in contact pretty much since being in college together. And, you know, our head coach, our academic advisor, and our athletic trainer and our parents – and fiancés were all able to come watch. So it was really cool. It was really special to meet up after the game and see everybody and all be together.
Cade Povich, Oriole lefty, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Cade pitching Saturday, scheduled to national TV against the Texas Rangers. And look, they're struggling right now. They are the defending world champions. How far in advance do you start to do a scouting report on them and start to work to figure out what the game plan could be?
Probably today, honestly. I've started figuring out kind of what I guess a pregame plan works for me. And I think around now is when I'll start that, just so I can have a couple of days to look it over and get some stuff memorized. And, you know, then be able to watch the game, a couple of games this week before I throw, and see if I see any differences in the stuff I look at. But usually a few days beforehand, just so I can look at it over the course of a couple of days.
How involved is analytics with your preparation?
I mean, there's a good amount, just as far as looking at what part of the zones they swing in the most and what part of the zones they do damage in most, and look at numbers that I guess are similar to what my pitches are and, you know, what might be most effective in this count versus another count.
Cade Povich, Oriole lefty, pitching Saturday, national TV against the Texas Rangers. All right, Cade, last thing. When you're throwing a baseball, then you look behind you and you got Gold Glove level first baseman. You got Gunnar Henderson doing all sorts of crazy things. Westy, and then Arias has a Gold Glove. Mateo, outfield speed galore. How comfortable are you as a pitcher knowing that, hey, if they put it in play, there's a good chance someone's going to get their glove on this thing?
Yeah, I think that's been the big thing as far as getting the walks down is just to attack the zone, because even if it's put in play, I mean, I've seen it already just with me pitching and then being at games, dudes are going to make plays. We have an unbelievable defense in the field. And I mean, the play Tony made for me and Wright throwing that guy out, just all across the board, everybody's going to make some special play at some point.
Cade Povich, Oriole left-hander. That was yesterday here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Still looking for his first win. He'll get that opportunity tomorrow night on national TV against the Texas Rangers. Fox, by the way, is the network. If you're looking for it, Orioles tonight taking on the Rangers. Game two, Orioles clobbered Texas yesterday, 11-2. Down at Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Tonight, we're getting you ready for this one. Baltimore baseball tonight. Me, Ryan Ripken. Landlin's going to be there with inside access as they start their program coming up at 2 o'clock. But we're live for Pickles Pub. Going to be a beautiful night downtown Baltimore. Stop by, say hello. And Super Bowl III is still on because NFL Network's been counting them back. Today's going to be the last one because this is the last Super Bowl that is actually on broadcast, because Super Bowl II, Super Bowl I are not available in its entirety, and I think there aren't even clips of Super Bowl II that exist, but I contend this may be the Titans' loss in 19 for Ravens fans, last year to the Chiefs, that sucked, many Oriole losses, Terps losses in the NCAA tournament or ACC championship, whatever you want to talk about. But this loss here, Super Bowl III is 18-point favorites. 55 years after it happened, might still be an old people get in here, or older, I should say, old people get in here and turn that blinker off when you're driving. But this might still be, to this day, the worst loss in the history of Baltimore sports. A significant loss because what it did, well, it validated the AFL.
Right.
And then the next year, Kansas City put a foot up Minnesota's rear end, which even made it more clear that they could play on a level playing field with the NFL. But the irony of it is, once the teams merged, 5881057, the Fan, featured artist Friday, it's Rush. We're all working men and ladies here on this Friday, getting ready for the weekend. Much anticipated fun, we hope. Olympic Games are coming up here in Paris.
Yep.
Month plus away, I guess.
Are they, are they end of July or early?
The,
I don't know.
26th, I believe, is the official start.
Of
July.
Yeah, so the ceremonies. I got to be honest with you, and I'm not anti-American. Of course, I'm diehard, red-blooded American baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Hondas. So I drive a Honda. I don't say I drive Chevrolet. I don't drive one. But I'm not getting any sort of vibe about the Olympic Games. Now, usually when they start, you're kind of glued to the TV for a couple of weeks. And we were talking with Joan Woodbury a couple of days ago. Boxing used to be a big thing for me. And when I find it, you know, I'll definitely watch it. But it's like, you don't really know the athletes other than the NBA players. And I guess you know some of the WNBA participants, but I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, you know Simone Biles.
I know her.
Yeah.
But, you know, I knew Michael Phelps, and I always look for the – is Katie Ledecky still part
yes.
of this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there's a local angle.
Yeah.
So you always look for the local thing first, at least I do, and then everything else kind of takes care of itself. But I'm just – you get so consumed with the Orioles – during baseball season, then you're starting to look ahead of the Ravens in less than a month.
Yep.
Training camp, you kind of forget that the Olympics are here because the last Summer Olympics were in 21 because of COVID. And now it's back on track, which I guess means the Winter Olympics are coming up in a couple of years. But maybe, just maybe, when the games start, Vinny, I'll start to be like, all right, let's get this done. And you'll find these human interest stories.
How about the men's basketball? You interested in that?
I am kind of. I wish it would go back to like the amateurs, but the rest of the world has become so much more advanced.
Yeah.
Like the best college players, however, back in the olden days, Nolan, when things were better and gas was only 2 cents a gallon and you can get an egg for free. College guys stayed for three. Featured artist Friday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Orioles tonight taking on the Texas Rangers. Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Birds win last night, 11-2. Four homers, all from homegrown guys for the Birds of Baltimore. Corbin Burns gets his ninth win of the season. With the win, number 51 for the Orioles and 24, puts them in first place in the AL East by percentage points over the New York Yankees, who come to Baltimore right before the All-Star break in a couple of weeks. Albert Suarez on the hill for the Orioles against Max Scherzer. We'll talk more about this. American League East report time coming up around 1:15. But yesterday, here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Kate Povich, he joined the program. He's going to pitch tomorrow night on national TV against the defending world champion Texas Ball Club. And we were talking about various subjects. One of those subjects was, hey, what was it like pitching at Yankee Stadium?
It was a blast. It was a lot of fun. Being really in that city for the first time for me was really cool. And, of course, the history I was – when we first got there, I was able to go in center field and kind of look around at the memorial thing that they have out there and just kind of be, like you said, not the original, but be in that kind of center of history. It was really special as a baseball player and a baseball fan.
Now, I mean, you get these benchmark moments, your debut against Toronto, then pitching in Yankee Stadium. You're going to be pitching on national TV Saturday against the defending World Series champions. Checking off a lot of these boxes, but has it sunk into you yet, Kay, that, hey, you're a major league ball player, and, you know, the way things are going, probably going to be one for a long, long time?
Yeah, I think a little bit it started to sink in. You know, obviously, like, the first game being the debut in Toronto, and then the second game against the Braves, just being at home, first time pitching in Camden. I think those two were really special, and I think now it's kind of turned back to, all right, we have to win ball games, and that's the most important thing right now.
Oriole lefty Kate Povich joining us here, 105.7 The Fan, Vinny and Haney on this Total Request Thursday. The rapport with James McCann and Adley Rutschman is what for you right now? Of course, you came over in 2022. Adley was already up here in Baltimore. What's it like working with them for the first time and getting acclimated to their strengths and how they're trying to extract your strengths from you?
It's been awesome. I mean, they're both super easy to work with, super easy to talk with. Obviously, both have tons of experience. You know, they've been really good going into meetings, talking, getting to know kind of what I like, me getting to know kind of what they do and what they like, and why they call pitches in certain situations, and, you know, getting to know each other all together better, just going into the games. You know, I think we've, with both of them, started to be able to find a groove on them knowing kind of what I like in certain situations and them having the plan going in on what will be good in other situations. So it's been a lot of fun, working with them.
Hey, Kate, what's the difference on the road and at home? Because I saw you have a lot of walks on the road and only one at home.
Yeah, I think that might – I mean, I think the first one kind of just – got out of my hands a little bit, couldn't feel the legs, tried to refocus myself. And then the one in Yankee Stadium was just kind of one where I didn't feel the best that day and whatnot. But I think overall, just honing everything in, I think I've figured out what works here. And I have full confidence that going back on the road won't be too much of a problem.
All right, Cade, what was it like pitching against another Husker, you know, and then I think one of their bullpen guys was too. Like, I'm sure you had a little chat before the game and stuff, and how cool was that?
Oh, yeah, we played against each other, got drafted the same year. So we were talking leading up to the game. We've stayed in contact pretty much since being in college together. And, you know, our head coach, our academic advisor, and our athletic trainer and our parents – and fiancés were all able to come watch. So it was really cool. It was really special to meet up after the game and see everybody and all be together.
Kay Povich, Oriole lefty, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Kay pitching Saturday, scheduled to national TV against the Texas Rangers. And look, they're struggling right now. They are the defending world champions. How far in advance do you start to do a scouting report on them and start to work to figure out what the game plan could be?
Probably today, honestly. I've started figuring out kind of what I guess a pregame plan works for me. And I think around now is when I'll start that, just so I can have a couple of days to look it over and get some stuff memorized. And, you know, then be able to watch the game, a couple of games this week before I throw and see if I see any differences in the stuff I look at. But usually a few days beforehand, just so I can look at it over the course of a couple of days.
How involved is analytics with your preparation?
I mean, there's a good amount, just as far as looking at what part of the zones they swing in the most and what part of the zones they do damage in most, and look at numbers that I guess are similar to what my pitches are and, you know, what might be most effective in this count versus another count.
Cade Povich, Oriole lefty, pitching Saturday, national TV against the Texas Rangers. All right, Cade, last thing. When you're throwing a baseball, then you look behind you and you got Gold Glove level first baseman. You got Gunnar Henderson doing all sorts of crazy things. Westy, and then Arias has a Gold Glove. Mateo, outfield speed galore. How comfortable are you as a pitcher knowing that, hey, if they put it in play, there's a good chance someone's going to get their glove on this thing?
Yeah, I think that's been the big thing as far as getting the walks down, is just to attack the zone, because even if it's put in play, I mean, I've seen it already just with me pitching and then being at games, dudes are going to make plays. We have an unbelievable defense in the field. And I mean, the play Tony made for me and Wright, throwing that guy out, just all across the board, everybody's going to make some special play at some point.
Cade Povich, Oriole left-hander. That was yesterday here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Still looking for his first win. He'll get that opportunity tomorrow night on national TV against the Texas Rangers. Fox, by the way, is the network if you're looking for it. Orioles tonight taking on the Rangers, game two. Orioles clobbered Texas yesterday, 11-2. Down at Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Tonight, we're getting you ready for this one. Baltimore baseball tonight, me, Ryan Ripken. Landlin's going to be there with inside access as they start their program coming up at 2 o'clock. But we're live for Pickles Pub. Going to be a beautiful night downtown Baltimore. Stop by, say hello. And Super Bowl III is still on because NFL Network's been counting them back. Today's going to be the last one because this is the last Super Bowl that is actually on broadcast, because Super Bowl II, Super Bowl I are not available in its entirety, and I think there aren't even clips of Super Bowl II that exist, but I contend this may be the Titans' loss in 19 for Ravens fans, last year to the Chiefs, that sucked, many Oriole losses, Terps losses in the NCAA tournament or ACC championship, whatever you want to talk about, but this loss here, Super Bowl III is 18-point favorites, 55 years after it happened, might still be an old people get in here, or older, I should say, old people get in here and turn that blinker off when you're driving. But this might still be, to this day, the worst loss in the history of Baltimore sports. A significant loss because what it did, well, it validated the AFL.
Right.
And then the next year, Kansas City put a foot up Minnesota's rear end, which even made it more clear that they could play on a level playing field with the NFL. But the irony of it is, once the teams merged, 5-7 The Fan, featured artist Friday. It's Rush. We're all working men and ladies here on this Friday, getting ready for the weekend. Much anticipated fun, we hope. Olympic Games are coming up here in Paris.
Yep.
Month plus away, I guess.
Are they end of July or early?
The,
I don't know.
26th, I believe, is the official start.
Of
July.
Yeah, so the ceremonies. I got to be honest with you, and I'm not anti-American. Of course, I'm diehard, red-blooded American baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Hondas. So I drive a Honda. I don't say I drive Chevrolet. I don't drive one. But I'm not getting any sort of vibe about the Olympic Games. Now, usually when they start, you're kind of glued to the TV for a couple of weeks. And we were talking with Joan Woodbury a couple of days ago. Boxing used to be a big thing for me. And when I find it, you know, I'll definitely watch it. But it's like, you don't really know the athletes other than the NBA players. And I guess you know some of the WNBA participants, but I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, you know Simone Biles.
I know her.
Yeah.
But, you know, I knew Michael Phelps, and I always look for is Katie Ledecky still part of this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there's a local angle.
Yeah.
So you always look for the local thing first, at least I do, and then everything else kind of takes care of itself. But you get so consumed with the Orioles during baseball season, then you're starting to look ahead to the Ravens in less than a month.
Yep.
Training camp, you kind of forget that the Olympics are here, because the last Summer Olympics were in 21 because of COVID. And now it's back on track, which I guess means the Winter Olympics are coming up in a couple of years. But maybe, just maybe, when the games start, Vinny, I'll start to be like, all right, let's get this done. And you'll find these human interest stories.
How about the men's basketball? You interested in that?
I am kind of. I wish it would go back to like the amateurs, but the rest of the world has become so much more advanced.
Yeah.
Like the best college players, however, back in the olden days, Nolan, when things were better and gas was only 2 cents a gallon and you can get an egg for free. College guys stayed for 3-4 years.
Right.
So they were essentially pros themselves. But then as the Soviets and Yugoslavia and, you know, some of the Asian countries started to get better, the competition level got much tougher. And after they lost in 88 to the Soviet Union, and then I guess we're USA, 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 we invented the game. Enough of this crap. Let's send our best players. So we dream teamed them and won every game at like 70 points. The gap has closed tremendously.
Big time.
Since then, because a lot of, you know, Bruno Fernando might be on the Angolan team. I mean, Canada's team's got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and R.J. Barrett. I mean, there are a lot of really good teams with a lot of NBA flavor because of the influx of the European players and beyond. So I still think the U.S. should win, mm-hmm. right? But maybe not demolishing the opposing teams the way that they used to.
And reading, Bob, the women's team, financially, they've lost a lot of marketing dollars not having Caitlin Clark in. The Olympics have, too.
Oh, really? I mean,
yeah. Bob, and,
but
you
if
know,
she doesn't deserve to be on the team, and I can't say whether she does or doesn't, quite frankly. You know, I guess a little hypocrisy there because, you know, I'm saying, you know, Bronny James only got picked because of his dad. But if she's one of the 12 best or whatever, 15 best, she should be there. If they feel as though she isn't, then so be it. But aren't they expected to trounce?
Yeah.
Like Christian Laettner was on the dream team and Shaq Attack wasn't for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Way back.
But
when.
Yeah, the women are expected. The swimming will be good, Bob. Men and women will be good. And men's gymnastics, I have zero interest. Women's? Yeah, Simone Biles.
Well, you don't like men on the balance beams and the parallel bars and the Bronco horse, whatever the hell that thing
is
called?
It was on last night, the prelims.
What channel was this on?
It was on...
Do you have a secret TV with the
Olympic
trials?
It was on either USA or TNT, one of those.
Yeah, not me, brother.
But, I mean, I watched it for 30 seconds, and I saw it was the guys, and I said, no.
Well,
you know, I
know guy gymnastics?
Just doesn't interest, you know, I mean, well, other than Simone Biles, I probably wouldn't watch it either. But Simone Biles, you know, she just won 4 golds at the U.S. Open or whatever. And she's 30 years old or 31. And, you know, her career was down and out. And I've seen the movie on her and everything. So if she can win gold, she'll be favored in everything. So it's going to be pretty exciting to watch.
Nolan, what about you? Olympic interest is what?
Always been more of a Winter Olympics guy. Just feel like the sports are more fun. Bobsled, luge, curling. I'll watch curling.
Curling rules.
Yeah, I watch curling.
I don't know. Summer stuff just doesn't. I mean, swimming, sure, with Phelps.
The track, you don't like those. I love the sprints.
It's over so quickly. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, 10 seconds.
They shoot the gun off and they're done. I mean,
but there also isn't like it used to be. This buildup to the games.
The Summer Olympics, Bob, in the past was all about boxing.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And track and field.
Yeah.
Those were the big... I mean, where do you think Bruce Jenner became a star?
Yeah, that's right.
Because of the decathlon.
Yep.
Track and field and Edwin Moses. And guys, you knew the Michael Johnson back
Sprinter,
in the mid-90s.
Yep.
You knew... Ben Johnson, Carl Lewis, the infamous 100-yard or 100-meter dash back in 1988. Now, it's like, I don't even know who our dudes are and ladies. Flojo, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Jackie Joyner-Kersee. I don't know anybody. I don't even know who's on the basketball team, for crying out loud. I know Kyrie Irving is it, because he was saying that
LeBron
it was.
There's
a shocker. But my point is that the Olympics, it's like tennis to me. These are sports that I used to follow and love. And now it's just, it doesn't, it doesn't touch my old entertainment bone anymore. Tennis especially. But once the Olympics start, are we doing anything Olympic-y here on 105.7 The Fan? Like an Olympic update?
I'd imagine we'll have the Westwood coverage. That's what we did in 21.
Right.
So I'd imagine that they'll have the updates throughout the show. At least once an hour.
Now, speaking of Paris, did Jonas Schaefer say that Lamar and Bateman were in France at the same time? Did I hear that correctly?
That's what he said. They were in Paris. I think it was a fashion show they were in Paris for.
Oh.
And neither one knew the other one was there.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
You mean they didn't play catch on the Eiffel Tower?
I guess not.
They ate snails together.
Smoked cigarettes and wear one of them stupid hats. What are those hats called that they wear?
A beret?
Those people.
I think if Zay Flowers would have been there, Lamar would have known he was there.
They'd have been playing catch right in the middle of the Louvre. Yeah. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, NFL Lunch, we're going to talk more about the Ravens, and in particular, the rookie class of 2024, because we know Nate Wiggins is going to be an integral part of the secondary. But where does Rosengarten fit in? It's an offensive line that everyone knows has lost three starters from 2023. You got your left tackle set with Ronnie Stanley. Tyler Linderbaum's going to be a keeper for many, many years to come, and an all-pro keeper at that. But Ronnie, you know, what version are you getting? He even said it's the healthiest version you're going to see in 5 years.
Yeah.
Which is, if that's true, it's great. But he's 5 years older than that healthiest version. Then you got Andrew Voorhees, who we're putting in a left guard, who hadn't played football in 2 years, but it's already his job to lose. Then the right side of the line, that's where things get a little interesting.
Yeah.
Because Zeitler's now in Detroit. And Morgan Moses, who was a cheap cap casualty, he's up with the Jets. But the Ravens, I guess they have something up their sleeve. What is that? We'll talk about that and more. If you want to get in, you can. 410-583-1057. Talk about any of the subjects we brought up today. If you're going to the ball game tonight, stop by and say hi to us at Pickles Pub. You'll see the big old tent that says 105.7 The Fan on it. We're right next to the Crush Bus, which you can't miss. You know why? Because it's a bus. It's literally a bus. It's the Crush Bus. So we're there. Inside Access will be there in about an hour. And then me and Ryan Ripken take over at 6 for BBT Suarez against Scherzer. But get on in here. Let's talk about the first place Orioles. Ravens with Super Bowl expectations. And your Olympic interest is what? As we're about a month away from that. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured artist Friday. It's Rush. We're all working men and ladies here on this Friday, getting ready for the weekend. Much anticipated fun, we hope. Olympic Games are coming up here in Paris.
Yep.
Month plus away, I guess.
Are they end of July or early? I don't know.
26th, I believe, is the official start.
Of
July.
Yeah, so the ceremonies. I got to be honest with you, and I'm not anti-American. Of course, I'm diehard, red-blooded American. Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Hondas. So I drive a Honda. I don't say I drive Chevrolet. I don't drive one. But I'm not getting any sort of vibe about the Olympic Games. Now, usually when they start, you're kind of glued to the TV for a couple of weeks. And we were talking with Joan Woodbury a couple of days ago. Boxing used to be a big thing for me. And big when time. I find it, you know, I'll definitely watch it. But it's like, you don't really know the athletes other than the NBA players. And I guess you know some of the WNBA participants, but I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, you know Simone Biles.
I know her.
Yeah.
But, you know, I knew Michael Phelps, and I always look for is Katie Ledecky still part of this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there's a local angle.
Yeah.
So you always look for the local thing first, at least I do, and then everything else kind of takes care of itself. But you get so consumed with the Orioles during baseball season, then you're starting to look ahead to the Ravens in less than a month.
Yep.
Training camp, you kind of forget that the Olympics are here because the last Summer Olympics were in 21 because of COVID. And now it's back on track, which I guess means the Winter Olympics are coming up in a couple of years. But maybe, just maybe, when the games start, Vinny, I'll start to be like, all right, let's get this done. And you'll find these human interest stories.
How about the men's basketball? You interested in that?
I am kind of. I wish it would go back to like the amateurs, but the rest of the world has become so much more advanced.
Yeah.
Like the best college players, however, back in the olden days, Nolan, when things were better and gas was only 2 cents a gallon and you can get an egg for free. College guys stayed for 3-4 years.
Right.
So they were essentially pros themselves. But then as the Soviets and Yugoslavia and, you know, some of the Asian countries started to get better, the competition level got much tougher. And after they lost in 88 to the Soviet Union, and then I guess we're USA, 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 we invented the game. Enough of this crap. Let's send our best players. So we dream teamed them and won every game at like 70 points. The gap has closed tremendously.
Big time.
Since then, because a lot of, you know, Bruno Fernando might be on the Angolan team. I mean, Canada's team's got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and RJ Barrett. I mean, there are a lot. I mean, there are a lot of really good teams with a lot of NBA flavor because of the influx of the European players and beyond. So I still think the U.S. should win, mm-hmm. right? But yeah. Maybe not demolishing the opposing teams the way that they used to.
And reading, Bob, the women's team, they've lost a lot of marketing dollars not having Caitlin Clark in. The Olympics have, too.
Oh, really? I mean,
yeah. Bob, and,
but if she doesn't deserve to be on the team, and I can't say whether she does or doesn't, quite frankly. You know, I guess a little hypocrisy there because, you know, I'm saying, you know, Bronny James only got picked because of his dad. But if she's one of the 12 best or whatever, 15 best, she should be there. If they feel as though she isn't, then so be it. But aren't they expected to trounce?
Yeah.
Like Christian Laettner was on the dream team and Shaq Attack wasn't for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Way back.
But
when.
Yeah, the women are expected. The swimming will be good, Bob. Men and women will be good. And men's gymnastics, I have zero interest. Women's? Yeah, Simone Biles.
Well, you don't like men on the balance beams and the parallel bars and the Bronco
Bob,
horse, whatever the hell that thing
it
is
was,
called.
It was on last night, the prelims.
What channel was this on?
It was on.
Do you have a secret TV with the Olympic?
It was
Olympic
on either USA or TNT, one of those.
Yeah, not me, brother.
But I mean, I watched it for 30 seconds and I saw it was the guys and I said, no.
Well,
you know, I
know guy gymnastics?
Just doesn't interest. You know, I mean, well, other than Simone Biles, I probably wouldn't watch it either. But Simone Biles, you know, she just won 4 golds at the U.S. Open or whatever. And she's 30 years old or 31. And, you know, her career was down and out. And I've seen the movie on her and everything. So if she can win gold, she'll be favored in everything. So it's going to be pretty exciting to watch.
Nolan, what about you? Olympic interest is what?
Always been more of a Winter Olympics guy. Just feel like the sports are more fun. Bobsled, luge, curling. I'll watch curling.
Curling rules.
Yeah, I watch curling.
I don't know. Summer stuff just doesn't. I mean, swimming, sure, with Phelps.
The track, you don't like those. I love the sprints.
It's over so quickly. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, 10 seconds.
They shoot the gun off and they're done. I mean.
But there also isn't like it used to be. This buildup to the games.
The Summer Olympics, Bob, in the past was all about boxing.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And track and field.
Yeah.
Those were the big... I mean, where do you think Bruce Jenner became a star?
Yeah, that's right.
Because of the decathlon.
Yep.
Track and field and Edwin Moses. And guys, you knew the Michael Johnson back
Sprinter,
in the mid-90s.
Yep.
You knew Ben Johnson, Carl Lewis, the infamous 100-yard or 100-meter dash back in 1988. Now, it's like, I don't even know who our dudes are and ladies. Flojo, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Jackie Joyner-Kersee. I don't know anybody. I don't even know who's on the basketball team, for crying out loud. I know Kyrie Irving is it, because he was saying that
LeBron
it was,
is.
There was, there's a shocker. But my point is that the Olympics, it's like tennis to me. These are sports that I used to follow and love. And now it's just, it doesn't touch my old entertainment bone anymore. Tennis especially. But once the Olympics start, are we doing anything Olympic-y here on 105.7 The Fan? Like an Olympic update?
I'd imagine we'll have the Westwood coverage. That's what we did in 21.
Right.
So I'd imagine that they'll have the updates throughout the show at least once an hour.
Now, speaking of Paris, did Jonah Schaefer say that Lamar and Bateman were in France at the same time? Did I hear that correctly?
That's what he said. They were in Paris. I think it was a fashion show they were in Paris for.
Oh.
And neither one knew the other one was there.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean they didn't play catch on the Eiffel Tower?
I guess not.
They ate snails together.
Smoked cigarettes and wear one of them stupid hats. What are those hats called that they wear?
A beret?
Those people.
I think if Zay Flowers would have been there, Lamar would have known he was there.
They'd have been playing catch right in the middle of the Louvre. Yeah. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, NFL Lunch, we're going to talk more about the Ravens, and in particular, the rookie class of 2024, because we know Nate Wiggins is going to be an integral part of the secondary. But where does Rosengarten fit in? It's an offensive line that everyone knows has lost three starters from 2023. You got your left tackle set with Ronnie Stanley. Tyler Linderbaum's going to be a keeper for many, many years to come, and an all-pro keeper at that. But Ronnie, you know, what version are you getting? He even said it's the healthiest version you're going to see in 5 years.
Yeah.
Which is, if that's true, it's great. But he's 5 years older than that healthiest version. Then you got Andrew Voorhees, who we're putting in a left guard, who hadn't played football in 2 years, but it's already his job to lose. Then the right side of the line, that's where things get a little interesting.
Yeah.
Because Zeitler's now in Detroit. And Morgan Moses, who was a cheap cap casualty, he's up with the Jets. But the Ravens, I guess they have something up their sleeve. What is that? We'll talk about that and more. If you want to get in, you can. 410-583-1057. Talk about any of the subjects we brought up today. If you're going to the ball game tonight, stop by and say hi to us at Pickles Pub. You'll see the big old tent that says 105.7 The Fan on it. We're right next to the Crush Bus, which you can't miss. You know why? Because it's a bus. It's literally a bus. It's the Crush Bus. So we're there. Inside Access will be there in about an hour. And then me and Ryan Ripken take over at 6 for BBT Suarez against Scherzer. But get on in here. Let's talk about the first place Orioles. Ravens with Super Bowl expectations. And your Olympic interest is what? Because we're about a month away from that.